a brief staff report.
Bringing my water with me because I've been suffering with a cold for the past couple of weeks, so hopefully I'll be able to, I won't breathe that way on anybody, so let's see. Somewhere. This is me right here. I used the standard issue Town of Carrboro PowerPoint there. So this evening we're going to talk just a little bit, real briefly, about the opportunity for funding through the CDBG, the Small Business and Entrepreneurial Grant application proposal. And as part of CDBG funding, there are two required public hearings. Let's see. And this will be the first of those two required public hearings. The second public hearing is scheduled for April 24th during you all's regular Board of Aldermen meeting, and the application is due April 30th. The intention for this public hearing is to consider proposed projects, and we know we have one proposed project in hand that we've all been talking about, but and so we're here to get public feedback on that, or if there's another project out there.
Just not to interrupt, but to interrupt, 2011, is that just... Is that just officially what they call it?
Yes.
Even though it's
they're a year behind. Yeah, it's 2011. I looked and checked also. So yeah, it's 2011. So that's what this public hearing is about this evening. So I'm just going to go through the parameters, the guidelines associated with the application process. The primary purpose is to provide funding to local governments for the creation or retention of jobs, grant funds. Must lead to the creation or retention of jobs that primarily benefit low moderate income individuals. And in addition, the grant application must include a plan for creating an entrepreneurial environment. So there's kind of these two funny pieces. There's a project that we're talking about doing, and then there's this little chunk of money, $5,000, they say, that has to go toward creating an entrepreneurial environment. So we've come up with a proposal for that. The maximum funding amount is $250,000, and there is no local match requirement. However, as we go through the budgeting creation, as I'm continuing to work with the town manager on what our ultimate budget is going to be, it's highly recommended that we do a local match to be competitive in this process. So when we come back in April 24th with a final budget, we'll recommend that there's some local match associated with it. The funding eligibility is contingent on job creation, retention for permanent full-time jobs, and there's that $25,000 per job created, which is consistent with all the things that we do with our own CDBG revolving loan fund. At least 70% of those jobs must be for individuals earning 80% or less of the area median income within the past 12 months. So we're not trying to create low, moderate income jobs. We're trying to employ people who have been on that low and moderate income spectrum in the past 12 months. And they must involve one or more local businesses that have been in operation for more than 2 years with less than 100 employees. So these are just some of the program guidelines. Eligible grant activities include infrastructure, wonderfully, purchase land, capital purchases, or job training, things that are not eligible, revolving loan funds, micro enterprise grants or loans, incubators, or debt restructuring. So that's just, again, just some bullet points about the program itself. Creating an entrepreneurial environment, there are funds available, and again, they're very specific. Their $5,000 must be designated toward available for activities that will equip the community and business leaders to take deliberate steps to create an environment in which small business entrepreneurs can flourish. The funds may be used to obtain training and plan for activities leading to the development of an entrepreneurial environment, such as attending training or holding community meetings to identify needs of local entrepreneurs. So those are the parameters of the program as it stands right now. And we do have a project that we've been talking about and considering. That is the extension of public sewer on Roberson Street to the 100 block, to provide service to the 100 block of Main Street. This project would provide access of public sewer to 22 different businesses that are in that block of Main Street. It would provide for the job retention of 140 plus or minus people that are employed on that street. And we all know that the sewer that's there, it's working today, but it's a real unknown whether it's going to fail tomorrow or it's going to last 5 years or 10 years. So, but it, it's sort of tedious for those folks. And just some numbers to know that the annual sales tax collected there for the countywide is $326,000. Just for the Carver's portion is $28,000. And our property taxes that we collect there annually are $65,000 and some change there. So that is the proposed project. Again, tonight is opportunity for the public to talk about that, or if there's another project out there that maybe we don't know about. And secondly, a proposal to create an entrepreneurial environment. What I'm putting forth as staff here is a series of four workshops, and they would be designed to assist local nonprofits to become more sustainable entrepreneurs. And we're hoping to design a program that will help them understand how to create their own revenues and help them become more sustainable. We all know there's diminishing federal funds, there's critical local dollars. We're going through the human services process right now, and we know how critical the need is. So the assistance would help for-benefit or fourth-sector type entrepreneurs to create more sustainable business models. That's the idea that's being put forth. So with that, I'll be happy to answer questions or you to allow for public comment opportunity.
There's no action on our part this evening. We're going to have another public hearing.
Other than to perhaps direct staff that this is the project you want us to go after and to go do that?
This is the project I'd like you to go after.
Simeon and Randy.
I hear that we might want to match, and the maximum is $250,000, and which is exactly what we need. And then we have to put $5,000 towards an economic development project, which is what you just explained. And I was before you shared that part, I was thinking this would be a great opportunity to really pursue our goal as expressed through the Local Living Economy Task Force and some of the things, projects expressed in there. One of them is to really serve as training wheels for a network of businesses in town that could really support each other, very much kind of like you're describing. In part, recognizing that those funds are drying up, it's time for the businesses to support, and as a local government, for us to support them, support each other as much as possible. So I was thinking, if we're going to be providing matching funds, we could augment that $5,000 possibly to really make that a viable project to really establish a local business network. And those workshops would fit into that, but I feel we could be more intentional about it being more about having that network get established with the goal of it being self-sufficient over time. Mm-hmm. And so that might be a great opportunity to put funds by the town to leverage the $250,000, and that way it would be more attractive on our part. We'd be providing that. We'd accomplish both goals.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, the $250,000 is the max. The $5,000 was within that.
Okay.
And probably at a minimum, based on my experience with community development dollars, I would suggest that we do a 70-30. We may end up, you know, again, working with the town manager, we may end up doing some other kind of spread. But that is to be competitive, because this is going to be a competitive. But certainly, I think you're right. Going back to the Local Living Economy Task Force guidelines and threading that in and having that be an outcome of those workshops is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, Randy?
Well, Sammy, I'm so glad you said that, because that was what I had in my notes to ask. But I was thinking that I understood that the $5,000 was within the $250,000. So I was wondering if the $5,000 could be a direct match, and if there was a way to be able to match another piece out of the $250,000. I mean, I don't know, how much leeway do you have to designate the matches?
The way that the budget will be structured is that we'll create a project and we'll say it's going to cost whatever it's going to cost to do the sewer, and then we're going to add $5,000 on for an entrepreneurial environment, mm-hmm. training workshops, and then we're going to say the town is going to pay for, we're going to ask for 70%, 80%, whatever that number is, we're going to ask for a certain percentage from CDBG folks not to exceed $250,000, and then the remainder would come from the town or whatever other sources that, that we come up with. Does that make sense? So it's the whole budget, and it's, so we're not really like, you know, this is a match and it's not a match. It's the whole project together.
Now, the HUD criteria, does the sewer fit into that? Really?
Infrastructure, yes. I've been talking with the folks at the Division of Community Assistance and Investment for months about this. So they kind of know our project, and they've been very helpful in sort of developing and thinking, and, you know, as we've gotten this far with it.
There's nothing stymies entrepreneurship like failed sewer.
And what about the... what is the potential to... beyond retaining jobs, but creating jobs? Because it seems to be really weighted towards creating jobs.
Well, they say it's both creation and retention. And again, I think that that's where our local match will help us be very competitive. We'll have, you know, sort of a project that's very neatly put together. If we have a good entrepreneurial kind of plan together, I mean, you know, I obviously can't
That's
guarantee.
Where I think the new job creation would come in between the training and entrepreneurship. Great idea.
Okay, Dan, and then Sammy, and then...
Yeah, I don't see in the guidelines that a local match is required.
It's not required.
It's not required. But are you suggesting that we would have a better chance of getting the grant if we're matching?
I'm very much suggesting that we will be much more competitive in this process with a good, hefty local match. A lot of the CDBG, and it's been a while since I've done the housing, but it is typically like a 20%. There's sort of a requirement, a baseline. So I feel like if we step above that, at least a 30, you know, maybe even more. I mean, again, working through the budget with the manager. So but I think it's going to help our competitiveness. I really
All right.
do.
Thank you.
I noticed that there's a 50% like users of infrastructure during the project period and for 3 years after project completion must pay for a portion of the cost of the improvements, and that 50% of that can be retained by us. And so the question being, could we put that money towards a local living economy network?
We could. I don't expect a lot of program income out of this. That is directly related to tap-ons, and we're going to have to come up with some kind of methodology to assess the property owners or the tap-ons that we do. The way, and I'll let our public works director come up here and talk about this more if we need, but the way that we're looking at developing the project is that from the sewer that we do a stub out and there not be a requirement to tap back into the main line and tear the road back up and all those kind of things. So there's a requirement within the guidelines that there be an assessment of property owners. And the way it's structured is the thought that there'd be future tap-ons. So if there are, in fact, future tap-ons, then we'll have some sort of assessment structure in place. And 50% of that money would have to go back to the state, and we would keep 50%. And so certainly we could designate, but I don't anticipate a huge amount of program income in the next 5 years.
So just to jump in for just a second, just to be really clear, what you're talking about is, for example, if somebody one day built a building behind Armadillo Grill or something like that and tapped into this line, then they would have to pay at some point.
The assessment fee that we structure, which will be part of the package when we come back on the 24th, you'll see what the assessment.
And half the money that they would have to pay to help pay for the sewer line would go to the state, and half of it would come to us.
Right. So program income. Yeah, for 5 years.
For 5 years.
But the current properties don't have to do that for what reason?
They're part of the budget. It's sort of built into the budget that assessment. So as we do. Where income's going to come from, where the various sources are going to come from, that'll be built into the budget.
So there is some you're anticipating that there would be some assessment to some of the current properties?
There's a requirement that there's an assessment, okay. So we're going to try to
come up. So Armadillo Grill is going to have to kick something in here.
Right, but right. We're hopefully going to structure something that's very affordable for the property owners. I mean, you know, that's our intention.
Sorry, Sam, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, those are contributing to my question. Thanks. The last question I had was, I noticed that there's a fair housing choice study requirement. Is that something we already do for applicants that are 10,000 people or more?
Yeah, There are quite a few, I'm trying to think of what the word is, program requirements. There's another name for it that goes, there are just all these attachments that go with CDBG funds if you get them. So there's money for administration. So again, if we get this money, there's some money for administration. I would like to throw out a consultant who does this all the time to make sure we have our checklist of things that we mm-hmm. comply with, have all the pops, the citizen participation plan and the, you know, all the things that we have to, consistency, that's what, you know, for consistency. So that's probably one of those checklist items, so.
Okay.
Many times the CDBG applications have more to do with housing rather than this type of more economic development oriented one. So it's probably kind of intended more for that.
I just wanted to second Jackie's motion that we encourage staff to continue pursuing this with the in mind to meet the application deadline.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lydia, it's been moved to second. Lydia and then Brandy and then we're going to vote.
Yeah, just my question, Annette, is with regard to the four entrepreneurial workshops. I imagine there's a strategy behind them being targeted for nonprofits. Is there a reason for nonprofits versus for-profit?
Well, I guess my connection and working with the human services folks that we're working with right now, and there's a whole sort of interest locally here for fourth sector, for-benefit type businesses that to help them become more sustainable, help because there's so much need out there. Mm-hmm. So teaching them to become entrepreneurs and sustain their missions is, I think, a niche that here locally that we would, I don't think anybody else is going to come up with that. I think, again, it's going to make us competitive and do something that's a little different that other folks could go and emulate in other places.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to check with Annette. It seems like the application deadline is April 30th, so I mean, the 24th is tight. Is it doable? I mean, is it really doable?
We're working hard. Pieces have been distributed out to various people that will have involvement. In this, we will be focusing on ACME, which is the largest. I only have to deal with one business in order to meet the guidelines. Okay. So I deal with one business, ACME. I've only got to verify 8 jobs for the amount of money that we'll be going after. So it sounds really huge, particularly this, but I feel pretty good that, you know, we've disseminated information out. I'm getting a lot of assistance from the public works director and you know, with the engineering that's been done out there already. I mean, we're pulling together the pieces of information. You might see my light on late a little bit next week, but we'll get it pulled together.
Before we vote, I'd just like to thank you once again for like the creativity you're bringing to your job. I know you really went out and searched for a way to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So we're really lucky to have you, and thank you for coming up with this for the town.
Well,
thanks.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Agreed.
My pleasure.
All right. All those in favor of Jackie's motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Good work. Thanks very much. All right. That brings us to item A3, a resolution. Oh.
Was that just a public hearing for the board? No,
I just didn't have anybody signed up, but come on up. My bad. Fortunately, there's two public hearings, so.
Yes, I know.
There'll be another time.
I want to get in on this.
We already, no, absolutely, but we already voted on this one tonight, but maybe your comments will
make us
chasing us for our next meeting.
No, I hope it does for this meeting. Of course, I'm Braxton from SHE, and my concerns here is that in reading this, out of this, 10 jobs must come out of here. Now, I have not heard anything about those 10 jobs. How are we going to track them, where are they going to come from, and where will they fit in this budget?
May I answer that?
Please go ahead.
If this project isn't completed and the sewer fails again, we will lose up to 140 jobs. And so it's either creation or retention. And this is a project that will retain those jobs.
I understand that, but it used the word must create 10 jobs for the amount of money that you're using.
Right.
And I also heard Annette saying that that's one of the things she's looking into, ACME, and making sure that they fall and fulfill that requirement.
Yeah. Well,
we'll look to hear more detail on that on our next public hearing. But go ahead and finish your thought.
I think it needs to be said now so that folk like me will know that that those jobs are there and not, as just something that's been passed over. Because that was my concern.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, you addressed the other question I had.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to hearing more about that issue specifically at our meeting on, is it the 24th? Is that the right date? Yeah.
Is that at Owassa?
Is that meeting going to be at the Owassa? That's one of the ones that we'll be meeting over.
Yeah.
So, Braxton, we're going to be over at Owassa.
Okay.
All right. Item A3, a resolution setting the date for 2012 legislative breakfast.
I just bet Raleigh's waiting to hear what Carver wants.
I'm going to see.